We've sung some praise and worship this evening. We've come before our Lord. We've said things like, we bow down and confess that he is Lord in this place. But it's no good just having our Father as Lord of this place. He needs to be Lord of our hearts. Yeah. It's about how we operate when we're outside of these four walls that's actually far more important than what we may do within them. Over the centuries, the people of God have at various times walked really, really closely with God and listened to everything that he said. And there's other times when they've thought that they knew better and they wanted to do things in their own strength, in their own abilities, or just do something different. We need to be in the will of God. And the message this evening that I want to bring is called A Call to Prioritise God's Work. Because God and his priorities must be our priorities. He has given us everything that we need for life on here, below, and also eternal life. Our Lord died to pay the price for our sin. He died to set us free from the penalty that was rightly ours. Eternal punishment and eternal death, that has been replaced with the gift of eternal life. As Trevor said earlier, there's nothing that we can do to earn eternal life. It really is just by the grace of God. Grace, the unmerited favour of God, poured out on each and every one of us. When we repent from our old ways, when we repent from our sin, and we turn to Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And the message I want to give us this evening, it's a message from the book of Haggai. It's where the prophet brings a wake-up call from God to his people, urging them to reconsider what they're doing, to reconsider their ways, and to prioritise God's work over all other things. We're looking at Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. This is a passage which was written for the Hebrews long ago. Yet it is relevant to us today. With the current economic climate that we face in this country and indeed around the world, it does feel like our homes are full of pockets at times, doesn't it?
Our pockets are full of holes even. Well, our holes are full of pockets.
You're listening. Good. Our pockets are full of holes, of course. In the world that we live in, there's just this craziness that's going on, and the world has its own priorities, but this passage challenges us to actually look at our priorities and to ensure that our priorities are actually aligned with God's will and God's purpose. So the first point, consider your ways. Haggai chapter 1 verse 5. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. The people of Israel, they'd returned from exile. They were focused on rebuilding their own homes, but they were neglecting the temple of God. And through Haggai, God calls them to consider their ways, to reflect on their actions, to examine the state of their lives. The Hebrew word that's here for consider is sim. It means to set, to put, or to place. It involves doing something. It involves actually taking an action. And God was asking his people to actually set their minds on their current situations and recognize the consequences of having misplaced priorities. I'm pleased that your priority this evening was to be here. You could have been at home. You could have had the TV on. You could have been watching either the greatest sporting event of the century or the worst possible outcome for us as a country. Who knows what's going on right now? But what I do know is that we are here to hear the word of God. We are here because today we've said, well, our priority is to be in the house of God, to listen to his voice, to worship him, to praise him. We, I believe, this evening have got our priorities right. But do we get our priorities right every other day? Are our days structured around what God wants us to do, or are they structured around what we want to do? This verse, it really is a call for an introspection. It's a call for realignment. It's a call for us to actually realise what God's purposes are and how he has called us to fulfil them. Lamentations 3:40 says, "Instead, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord." If we're honest, there's times in our lives when we think that we're really walking close with God. We think that we know exactly what God is doing and exactly what's going on. But sometimes we're actually not listening to the voice of God. We're listening to our own inner voice, or we're listening to the voice of the world out there. We need to know that we can hear from God, but we've got to pause. As it says in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that he is God." We've got to allow God the space to actually speak into our lives, to speak into our circumstances and situations. Sometimes we have to wait, but God's timing is always perfect. There are times when we will just sit back. I mean, imagine a farmer who worked hard but neglected to look after his crops. Despite whatever efforts he might decide to put on later in the season, if he hasn't done the work up front, if he hasn't looked after the ground, if he hasn't done everything that's necessary during the period of time that the seeds are in the ground, the harvest will never be as great as it could have been if he had made the effort. And we talk about revival, and we talk about God moving in this community, but how many of us are actually willing to sow seeds that could actually grow? How many of us are actually willing to go and talk to our neighbours, our friends, even our own family, about the truth of who God is and his plan of salvation for us? Rick Warren, the renowned Christian pastor and author, he expressed the profound truth when he said, "You were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense." He made us, he designed us in our mother's wombs, he knit us together. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And he knows every single one of us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But so many in this world won't acknowledge that God even exists. They think that they know better than everyone else. But God's wisdom is beyond anything that we could ever have. And in many ways, his wisdom is beyond our understanding. But he is a powerful and a wonderful God. Let's unpack this quote a little bit further. "You were made by God and for God." Genesis 1:27 states, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." There's nothing ambiguous about this verse, is there? It's pretty obvious who the creator is and whom he created. There's an intrinsic value here. We're not accidents. There was a purpose in God creating us. We are not products of nature or evolution. We are beings who have been created by a creator with a divine intent and purpose. We need to understand that our origin was not some pool of ooze way back when. Random generations of life somehow evolved into this fine figure of manhood before me. You did not evolve, you were created in the image of God. You were created in the image of God. You were created in the image of God. Every single one of us, God would call us his masterpiece. That should make us happy, shouldn't it? I mean, okay, maybe I look more like a Picasso than a Rembrandt, but God calls me his child. I'm clothed in a robe of righteousness that's not my own. I'm created in the image of my creator. I'm not some random collection of molecules that just happened to come together and turn into what you see before you. When we understand that we have a divine origin, when we understand that there is meaning to life, when we understand that we were created to worship God. To have him at the centre, not at the edges, our perspective changes. We can be in relationship with the Creator, not just our Creator, but the Creator of absolutely everything in this universe. And actually everything outside of this universe. It's all his. We navigate life with a completely different sense of purpose when we realise that God is God. We navigate life with a different sense of purpose when we realise that he has called us to serve him in so many different ways. Our perspective is meant to be transformed. And when we come to Christ for the first time, when we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and Saviour, our perspective does change. And it continues to change on our journey to glory, on our journey to heaven, on our everyday walk with God. The more we read about him, the more we learn about him, the more we see him at work in our lives and the lives of others, the greater our understanding of who he is and what he does. He's got a plan that is perfect. And when we stop to look, we can get a glimpse of the clarity that comes when we look for him. Second point, acknowledge the futility of self-reliance. Haggai 1 verse 6. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. The Israelites at that time, they experienced frustration. They experienced lack. Despite their hard work, despite what they were doing, the direct result for them was a sense of self-reliance, a sense of it's okay to neglect the house of God if I get my house right first. But that's not the way it's meant to be, is it? It's meant to be God first. Everything else follows, serving God first. These Israelites, their efforts were without God because God didn't form a part of what they were doing. They were dissatisfied. They had unfulfilled needs. And there's a futility that's described here. The word holes in Hebrew, nakab, it implies a sense of emptiness. It implies a sense of loss. It's like they thought there should be something more, but there wasn't. And maybe that's because their priorities were not where they were meant to be. We need to be reminded from this passage that true fulfillment does come when we align ourselves with God's will, when we align ourselves with God's purpose. We've been praying as a church that God would lead us in the right way. We've been praying as a church that God would rise up, bring in whatever he was going to do to help us grow spiritually, to help us grow in maturity, to help us be shepherded. God has revealed his plan. He's revealed his purpose. And there may be some that are thinking, well, and? Or there may be some thinking, wow, what's God going to do? Where are we going to go? What direction are we going to move in? How are we going to see a move of God in this church now? And I'd rather be in the second group of people than the first. We need to be enthusiastic because God has not left us as we were. Amen. He's got something new, something fresh for this season and many seasons to come. Yeah. John 15:5, Jesus says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Consider a person who invests in the stock market. They don't have any proper knowledge and they hope for high returns. And they pick certain stocks that they invest in and then those companies go bankrupt or cease to exist. Instead of getting the benefit that that person thought they were going to get, they've actually ended up with less than they started with. And without seeking God's guidance, without having God at the centre of what we do, we will always end up with less than he would have given us. That's why we have to put him first. That's why we have to prioritise his will over our will. It's interesting. One of the first things that Lloyd said was, if the Holy Spirit says this is right, if it's good to the Holy Spirit and to us, then we should continue. And it would have been easy to go in from a human perspective and just think, well, it gives us access to a larger ministry team, or it gives us access to online resources. But we stopped to listen to what God was saying through the Holy Spirit. So it's not just something that's nice to have, but we truly believe this is the will of God for this season. Amen. There's a big difference. And maybe there's stuff going on in your life that's important, but in a different way. Have you stopped to listen to the voice of God telling you it's well with Him? So often we say we seek God's guidance. Maybe we do, but we kind of expect that instant answer, don't we? And not just an instant answer, we expect God to write it out in 24-point font, in big, bold letters. This is the way you should go, don't we? But often it's that still, small voice. The still, small voice that we can ignore because we're so busy looking for the big extravaganza of an answer, when actually God's already given the answer to us. We need to seek God's guidance. If we don't seek God's guidance in what we do, we will be spiritually bankrupt as individuals and as a church. We need to listen to the Spirit. A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. Isn't this true in church life? We want to reach the lost. So what do we do? Do we bring an evangelist? Well, we could do, but then how do we follow that up? Well, maybe if we had a meal and we invited people to a meal, and then we do the meal, people turn up. But it's only church people there because no one actually bothered to evangelize and invite someone from outside in. And there's a bunch of Christians having a really great meal, but the lost are still lost. Our priorities have to be right. Our hearts have to be right. We have to actually have the fire to save the lost from being lost. And God can do the impossible through any one of us. Think about the Old Testament. Think about the odd ways, and they were odd, that God used to get people's attention when they ignored Him. You ever seen a speaking donkey? God used that to get through to someone. He stopped the sun from moving to speak to the people. God is the God of the impossible, and through Him we can do the impossible when we allow Him to work, when we allow Him to move. Third point, prioritize God's work for true fulfillment. Haggai 1:7. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. Ask yourself that question this evening, friends. What is happening to you right now? What is there that's going on where you're trying to do things in your own strength rather than let God work and move? Sometimes we have to just get out of the way. We need to let go and let God. And God calls His people to actually reflect on our ways and to let Him have control. Maybe we don't like that. Maybe we want to be in control. Maybe we want to be masters of our own destiny. Maybe we think that actually, in our own strength, we can do it. Let's not bother God. God's far too busy looking after those over there. But God cares about those who are here. There is no problem too small that we shouldn't pray about it. There's no circumstance too simple or too difficult that we shouldn't bring it before God in prayer. And the repetition that we see here in this passage, it emphasizes the importance of listening to God, to listening to His message, to responding to His message, to actually letting Him be God. What does God desire here in Haggai? He's desiring for a people who prioritize the rebuilding of His temple, the symbol of His presence, the symbol of their worship for Him. We worship God in church on the Sunday, but how do we worship Him in our daily lives? Is His praise on our lips? Is His words in our mind? Is He the center of all that we do? Do we prioritize Him? Do we put Him first in our lives? I mean, I'll be honest, Lloyd does a prayer meeting every morning at 7 a.m. on Zoom. I know some of us might be awake at 7 o'clock in the morning, but from someone who often has insomnia, 7 a.m. might be the time when my body is actually telling me to go to sleep. Doesn't matter. God's word, God's work has to always come first. And whether I'm tired or whether I'm full of life, whether I have to pour 11 coffees down my throat so that I'm awake when the prayer meeting takes place, I need to be where God's people are. Prophet Daniel, he used to get up at 4 a.m. every day to pray. And even when it was decreed that he shouldn't pray to anyone other than the king, he still prayed to the true God. I wonder what your first prayer is in the morning. As you go, perhaps you get out of bed, you go downstairs, you open your kitchen cupboard and you're praying, Lord, please let there be coffee. Or maybe even before you get out of bed, you thank him for your breath. You thank him for what he is going to do in you and through you that day. You thank him for everything that happened the day before and what he's got planned and installed for you. Is your priority to build the temple of God? In a modern context, the Holy Spirit resides within each and every believer. So the temple that we're actually building is our lives for him to occupy. Doesn't that put a different spin on things? It's not just a building, as grandiose as the temple may have been. Your life is meant to be the temple. Let me give you another Hebrew lesson. The Hebrew word for ways, and it's God's ways that we're talking about. The Hebrew word for ways is derek. Seriously. Derek. That sounds like a wonderful theological term, doesn't it? Obviously, things translated into English don't necessarily mean the same, and it's phonetic, but a derek is a manner of conduct, the way that you would live your life. By focusing on God's commands, our purpose, our derek, should be in finding fulfillment and truth in the blessings that come from God. Matthew 6:33, we know it. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I'm sure you've noticed before that it says he will give you everything you need, not everything you want. This couple here want to learn to drive. They're going to want a car at some stage. They might want a Ferrari, but they're probably more likely to get a small Fiat. Why? Because that's what they'll need. God supplies everything according to our need.
Yep.
I don't think there's anyone amongst us that can't say that God has always supplied according to our need. But we have to seek him first. We have to live righteously. Ooh. Ooh, dear. Living righteously should be easy if we are walking in the Lord's ways. If we're walking according to his purpose, if we are reading and living the scripture, and if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. Think of an orchestra for a moment. Think of an orchestra. If they just took their instruments out of their bags or carry cases and just started playing, it probably wouldn't sound very good. The instruments have to be tuned. And without a tuned instrument, it's chaos. I'm looking at Maureen because I know Maureen knows about these kind of things. Unless it's perhaps even some of the new modern digital stuff has to be tuned. Our lives need to be tuned. Our lives need to be in harmony with God. We need to allow God to tighten or loosen the strings so that the sound that comes from our life is a sound of praise, a sound of worship. We need to be in tune with his will, and we need to be in harmony with his purposes and his plans. Charles Stanley said, when we focus our attention on God, life's problems seem to fall into their proper perspective. What's he mean? Well, God is bigger than everything, and our problems are tiny compared to God. Trusting in God's promises, fourth point, final point. When we prioritise God's work, we can trust that he will fulfil his purpose. God's faithfulness is unwavering. He honours those who honour him. And the Israelites needed to trust that rebuilding the temple would actually bring them into and closer to God's blessings and God's presence. And we need to align ourselves with God's will and his purpose. And as we as a church, as we as individuals, as we as family, as we as community, as we align ourselves with him, the blessing will come. It will. Because God has promised to bless. But we need to be aligned with him, his priorities, his purposes. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. We quote this verse so often. We say it like we should be able to do it without any problem. But it requires our trust. It requires our obedience. When we step out in faith, when we prioritise God's work, when we prioritise him above what we want, that's when his faithfulness truly works in our lives. That's when we experience blessing. Max Licato said, faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. It's the belief that God will do what is right. Yeah. We understand the difference, don't we? We say we understand the difference, but when the rubber hits the road, when the prayer is answered in the way that God wants our lives to be, maybe we're not as content as we should be. But God will always do what is right. And we need to willingly submit to his will, to his purpose. In conclusion, Haggai calls us to consider our ways, acknowledge the futility of our self-reliance, to prioritise God's work for true fulfilment, and to trust in his promises. This is an ancient message, but it's a message that's relevant to us today. Let's not be so busy in our lives that we ignore God. Let's not be so busy in our lives that we prioritise something instead of God. Let me encourage your friends this week. Examine your priorities. Examine how you spend your day. Examine what you do. And seek to adjust anything that's keeping you away from God. Maybe it's an attitude change that's needed. Maybe you disagree with someone. And you need to seek God's will to know, what is it that God wants you to do? What is it that God wants you to say? How does God want you to behave in that circumstance or situation so that he is prioritised over your own feelings? And that can be difficult, but we need to put God first in everything that we do. God is calling us to be his people. God is calling us to be his church. God is calling us to prioritise everything we do according to his will, by his grace and mercy. May he help us in our daily walk, that we are continually transformed and come closer to his will and purpose for us. Let's trust him, let's love him, let's bless him in any way that we can by serving him and him alone. Amen. Amen.